Hello, welcome back. In this video, we're going to discuss labor market failure. Let's look at the unemployment rate in the UK relative from 1971 to 2015, right? So we've kind of seen a little bit of dramatic downplay, right, from the unemployment rate in the UK. It looks like overall the trend is moving downward, right? So you can see in about 1983 we topped about 12%. Then in 1993 we topped a little bit greater than 10%. But now in 2011 we saw the high there recently at 8%. So we're moving down in a gradual decrease in unemployment rate, which is very positive. So economic inactivity, right, this is going to measure the amount of economic output, right, and by the labor market, right, so we can see that economic inactivity, that rate is truly decreasing, right, so this can show or prove that we are seeing a nice recovery in the activity rate in the economy, right, so labor is increasing, unemployment rate decreasing, right, wages potentially going up, sales potentially going up, so we are using this as a measurement of the economic inactivity rate, which you can see in this graph is decreasing, which is a positive sign for the UK economy. Now, let's look at root causes of the labor market failure, right? So labor immobility, right? So barriers to moving easily between jobs, right? So if you're skilled in a certain trade and the labor market is tightening for that trade, it's going to be tough to move out of that job into something else because you are very centralized in what you can do because you have one specific skill, right? So let's talk about geographical immobility, right? We can't change jobs because it's tough to change locations, right? There's a lot of costs involved in moving. Other factors, children, spouse, other things like that may prevent you from being mobile as far as labor. Let's talk about disincentives to find or take work, right? So the unemployment trap, which is very prominent globally, right, where people are reliant too heavily on the government for subsidies as far as housing, food, etc. Right, so don't get caught in the unemployment trap where economic incentives to take a job are poor, right, relative to maybe being on the government payroll. Right, so this is why we want to promote a entrepreneurial spirit so that we don't get caught in this unemployment trap or the poverty trap, where the poverty trap is described as the disincentives to earn extra income, right? Why would I want to go work and make extra income when the government's just going to give it to me? I can find better things to do with my life. Don't get caught in those traps, right? Let's avoid that. Let's take control of our life and let's become entrepreneurs and change the world through our entrepreneurial spirit. It's simple, right? Instead of suppressing our spirit and falling into the unemployment and poverty trap, right? All of our decision making is based on our mindset, right? So don't get caught in the free money trap, right? Discrimination by employers, right? This is a part explanation of the gender gap in pay and women in senior roles, right? The discrimination badly affects wages and employment for the affected groups, right? So, next cause for labor market failure, monopsony power of employees. They can use their buying power in the labor market to drive down wages because they control the wage rate, right, to a certain extent. The floor is obviously the minimum wage, but because they have the cash, they can use their buying power to drive down wages and maybe even higher at the floor. So what's immobility? Let's go a little further into why is labor immobility a significant problem? A cause of structural unemployment and economic vulnerability, right? Occupational immobility is a barrier to people finding work. Towns with low mobility are more exposed to external shocks, right? Towns with low mobility, right? So the external environment, geopolitical headwinds, different kind of market failures, right? You are going to be exposed to those external shocks and not so insulated because you do not have the ability to move quickly to take advantage of opportunities for higher wages or better jobs. A cause of persistent relative poverty. Long-term unemployment damages lifetime earnings, right? I can't earn money. I won't earn money. I can't earn money if I'm not employed, right? So I can't reinvest cash. I can't improve my family's well-being, right? Areas with low mobility are more likely to suffer economic deprivation, leading to a fall in incomes and higher debt level, right? So get out of that poverty trap and let's continue to have an entrepreneurial mindset. But at the same time, we understand that it's tough to mobilize when we don't have the opportunity or the funds or the resources to do so. So while we are forward thinking, we need to be putting ourselves in a position to where we'll have an opportunity to be mobile, even if we don't live in the most efficient areas, right? Even if we don't live in the places with the maximum opportunity. And that's why through CLI, you can put yourself in a position to really harness your social and your economic and your entrepreneurial spirit, right? And position yourselves to where these causes of immobility are less impactful on your life, right? So the loss of economic efficiency and social welfare. Immobility stops scarce resources from being used optimally. Too much waste going on if there's not any economic efficiency, right? So social costs from increased unemployment and from rising level of relative poverty, right? So now, because we have rising level of poverty, now the government has got to come in, tax more, now redistribute that wealth to people that are in stages of poverty, right? Which is good for a short-term fix, but let's put ourselves in a position to where we can be forward-thinking, long-term focused, and sustainable on our own, right? We want to get away from being in these unemployment and economic vulnerability traps, right? We can set ourselves up for success instead of relying on our failure, right? Labor market discrimination occurs when an employer uses metrics or characteristics other than measured productivity for a worker to judge their attractiveness for a job or a role, right? The discrimination can be on the basis of what? Gender, ethnicity, faith, sexuality, age, height, social background, and any other characteristics, right? We need, as employers, to get away from this discrimination and truly, truly pay people, right, wages that are reciprocal to their skill level, right? So regardless of gender or ethnicity, faith, sexuality, age, height, any of these characteristics, those need to be done away with, and we need to view the individual that is based upon their ability to promote social, economic, and entrepreneurial factors, right, that can help progress society forward, right, regardless of all these discrimination factors. Those need to be irrelevant and obsolete, and we need to move forward, and we need to compensate and hire based upon skill level and not these aspects. So the demand for labor of discriminated groups will be lower, and wages and employment will be lower as a result, right? So wage one and wage two, right? So no one's going to demand labor at wage two when they can get labor at wage one. But so unfortunately, we see groups being discriminated upon, right? Which is definitely wrong, right? But because of that, there's more poverty in these discriminated groups because there's not enough opportunity and people aren't willing to work at the wage level two as they would be at wage level one, right? So you can see by the graph that in wage level two, the supply of labor decreases, more proportionate than the then the wage decrease, right? So it really stymies people, really gives them disincentive to work at a lower wage rate. So if we can get away from these market discriminations, right, and then we may not have as many people on a government payroll, right, or worried about government subsidy, right? So we can promote and sustain equality and individual freedom and entrepreneurial spirit through paying proper wages. So the gender pay gap, median, okay, so look, so we can see that in a proportion, in a disproportionate level, men are paid more than women, right? And we really need to get away from the stereotype as employers, right, as entrepreneurs. Some of us may come and take these business classes, and guess what? It might spark an idea for you to open up your own business and become personally, financially free and sustain your own wealth, right? But let's try not to, let's be very conscious not to be caught into these discriminatory roles, right? Let's make sure that we are hiring on value based on their content and their skill level versus one of these discrimination factors, right? So this men to women pay gap really needs to come into balance, because it's sad that we are experiencing this when obviously women are just as capable of, as men. So, explaining the gender pay gap, breaks from the labor market. When women take maternity leave to raise a family, it's harder to achieve promotion when re-entering the job market. That is a sad state, right? We do not need to continue that mindset, right? Women have a right to leave the workplace and to raise a family. And I think in today's society, we're getting a little better at this, but we need to make sure that they are not hindered or penalized for, doing what basically God tells them they need to do, right? They need to raise a family and take care of their family and do that, right? But if they want to re-enter the market, look, let's make sure that they can re-enter the market fairly at the same level and the same pay, right? That's the only right thing to do. Age at which women take a break from the labor force is often the point when careers take off and wages rise at a fast pace. Again, we cannot penalize women for this, right? That's the wrong thing to do. We need to support them and support the family, right? And make sure that the family has an opportunity to prosper, right? And be flexible with women in the workplace. Access to education. In many lower and middle income countries, opportunity for women to earn qualifications and gain experience is limited. This is affected by social norms and high fertility rates, right? So, this is an opportunity, a socioeconomic downfall, right, for some people in different environments, right? So access to education, right? That's why CLI is so great, right? We give you access to high-level education, ministry, and enterprise, right? To actually become a bivocational preacher, teacher, worker, business owner, right? To take hold of your future through free education, right? And giving you access to where people wouldn't have access before. So hopefully institutions like CLI can really begin to mitigate all of these discrimination factors. Patterns of employment in developed countries. Women are disproportionately represented in part-time work. Many females tend to be clustered in service occupations that pay less. Clerical, caring, catering, cleaning, etc. Many women in vocations where wages are relatively lower. The gender pay gap remains affected by continued employer discrimination, increased female participation rates in economies, right? So we need to really get past this, right? And I understand that, that in some undeveloped places, they don't have quite the access that developed countries may have. But if you are in a developed nation and you are, an employer, if you're a hiring employer, we need to really make sure that we are paying fair wages, fair rates based on skills and nothing less. So let's look at monopsony in the labor market, right? So it's always a chain of reasoning, right? A monopsony occurs when there is a sole or dominant employer in a labor market, right? The employer, therefore, has buying power over the employees. They can dictate the employment situation because they dominate the market, and they can, therefore, suppress wages to whoever they want because, guess what? You like working for my company, and you like what you do, but I'm the only one doing it. That gives me the advantage. Right or wrong, that is how it is. This gives them wage-setting power, right? And because we work in a free market and we live in a free market, the government can't come in and put on a price floor on any company that they want, right? They as long as, you know, unemployment or minimum wage, obviously, but nothing above that, right? So in theory, this leads to lower wages than in a competitive market. So don't specialize in an industry that is dominated by just a few players, right? So make sure that you can put yourself in a situation to be competitive and specialize in an industry that is growing and that offers a wide variety of opportunities and pay scales as they continue to compete for market share and look to retain top talent, and therefore we can pay or will pay subsequent wages. Right. So profit maximizing employment level is where MCL, right? So our marginal cost of labor equals to our market demand for labor, right? So E2, number of people are employed, right? So at E2, right, we are sensing some equilibrium here. Their marginal revenue product is valued at W2, right? So they're up a little higher, right? Monopsony power of the employee allows them to pay a wage rate at wage level 3, right? Because they are the only ones in the market dominating that market. So therefore, that gives them buying power, right? So therefore, they can suppress wages or manipulate wages however they choose above the price floor. Policies to address labor market failures. So let's talk about how can we address labor immobility. Targeted unemployment, subsidies, apprenticeships, internship opportunities, right? So we need to be able to provide opportunities for potential market entrants as employees to obtain skills, apprenticeships, and internships, right, to heighten their skills and make them more valuable in a free marketplace. Reforms to the housing market to improve affordability and lower travel costs, right? So these are some ways that we can, or that the government or the free market or society can help to mitigate some of this immobility risk, right? So some disincentives to find or take work, reforms in income taxes, right? So lower marginal rates, as we just recently saw in the United States, a lower corporate tax rate, a lower federal personal income tax rate. This is going to lead to more hiring, stronger wages, right? Benefit reforms, right? So we need to make sure that subsidies given into the market, right, to unemployed or less fortunate or those in poverty, right? We need to make sure we can reform those benefits, right? And cap those welfare claims, right? By giving incentive, providing opportunity, lowering taxes, right? This will spur economic growth, right? Which will allow companies to hire more. And if they hire more, then people will be pulled out of personal poverty, right? Their families will be pulled out. So we need to make conditions inside the market conducive to, lifting people up out of their, unadvantageous positions, right? We need to put them in a better position to be successful, and we need to cultivate that, right, into our society and lift up others, right? So discrimination by employers. We need to have tougher laws on equality and penalties for businesses that aren't following the law, right? So we need equality in the marketplace, right? There are so many skilled workers. There are so many people that are so talented that aren't paid their deserved rates that we need to ensure that that equality is pushed for, right? Laws on unfair dismissal, right? So we got to make sure that we can't just be firing people just because we didn't like the color of shoes they wore that day, or you know, anything like that, right? So make sure that it's a fair discharge practice, right? So monopsony, power of employers, right? So encourage business startups, right? Make sure if this is the only competitor in the space that's dominating, let's encourage startups, encourage and promote competition, right? Because competition just makes the marketplace stronger, and that way we can bid up wages, take down unemployment, and increase investment and savings by our individuals, right? So countries with the highest employment rate, okay, being risk of being replaced by automation, right? So we're looking at this, right? The risk of automation, this is pretty high, right? So you can see in undeveloped countries, right? Besides China, Thailand's pretty developed. India's so automation is coming in to play, right? Automation is coming into play. So that's something we need to be prepared for. And we need to be able to know how to handle those risks, but also be prepared to, take advantage of automation as well, because we can specialize in automation technology and then potentially come in and, help implement the automation and be an overseer of it too. So there's a lot of things that are going on, right? And currently, as we're in a transition to potentially the fourth industrial revolution through AI, so this is a risk that we will see in the future, and we need to be prepared. But I think businesses do not need to be so short-sighted. Firms do not need to be so short-sighted that they are only thinking about increasing profit margin through automation and disposing the human worker. We need to make sure that this is a very delicate balance between the employment ecosystem, right? The employment ecosystem. So we got to make sure that this is handled with a delicate balance. So now there is. So you can do your. You can read further on this, but there are some debates going on about universal income, right? Due to automation, right? So we'll see how this plays out. I don't know if this will, ever take hold in the States, but I know Europe is really mulling this over. So do your own research on this, and I'd like to know your feedback.